listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we talk about the recently appointed Department of Corrections Secretary's first public appearance. The appointment comes amid ongoing investigations into abuse and misconduct allegations at a youth detention facility.
First, President Obama visited Milwaukee today to celebrate an increase in enrollment for the Affordable Care Act. Wisconsin's the only state using the Affordable Care Act to expand its Medicaid program while declining federal funds to pay for it. WPR reporter Chuck Quirnbach followed the story. He joins us now from our studios in downtown Milwaukee. Chuck, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Well, can you tell us what brought the president exactly to Milwaukee to talk today?
Well, last fall, the White House launched a Healthy Communities Challenge, trying to get 20 metro areas with high numbers of uninsured to compete to get people to sign up. Milwaukee did not win in the raw numbers of enrollees, but certainly won the percentage based on population size. 38,000 people in the Milwaukee area signed up under the Health Insurance Marketplace Program, and along with about 51,000 others, returnees, the city area or the area came up with about 89,000 people. That's why President Obama was saying that's more than people can fit into Lambeau Field.
And what did the president say about why this was so successful, or what do we know about why this program worked there?
Well, it's certainly been controversial. It's worked according to some folks, and I don't think there's been a lot of media reports about people who have signed up who've been upset. Certainly there's been reports about people who have gotten coverage being happy. The president had lunch with several of them today in Milwaukee near where he spoke. And one of the gentlemen who had written the president a letter, Brent Brown of Mosinee, explained that he didn't care for the president, didn't vote for him a couple times, but after Mr. Brown was diagnosed with a serious disease, he did say that the being part of the Affordable Care Act saved his life. So Mr. Brown sort of gave his preliminary speech and warm-up speech to the president.
And you shared some audio from the event with us. Can you set that up for us, Chuck?
Well, sure. Plan, as I say, controversial. Hearing today from Attorney General Brad Schimmel, Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, yesterday from Governor Scott Walker, who said, sure, greater enrollment is good, but we don't trust still the federal promise to pay for it. And so Wisconsin has kind of gone on its own using the authority, but not the federal money. The president today commented about the governor.
And by the way, Milwaukee, while you worked your tails off to cover enough folks to fill Lambeau Field, your governor still refuses to expand Medicaid in this state. And we could cover another 21,000 Wisconsinites with a stroke of his pen.
Was that just a one-off, or was the president generally critical of Wisconsin's policy here?
Well, he also spoke against briefly referring to Senator Johnson and also, but not really by name, I think, Paul Ryan, the House Speaker, of course, from Wisconsin. Obviously, 2016 election year, Senator Johnson being a critic of the Affordable Care Act, likely Democratic candidate Russ Feingold in favor of the Affordable Care Act. And, of course, the presidential candidates are coming to town soon. He didn't get in. Mr. Obama did not get into the presidential race today, but everybody knows generally speaking, the Republican candidates oppose Affordable Care Act. Democrats generally favor it. So more to come on that in a key battleground state.
And I understand the president visited a community center in Milwaukee. That's been part of a kind of a sign-up effort. Is that right?
Right. He was at the United Community Center, a very large Latino-focused organization. He spoke in the gym of Bruce Guadalupe School there. Looked to be a very diverse group of audience members, Latino arts group performed beforehand and so on. So energizing a base or reaching out to key Latino voters, trying to get everybody enthused, probably a target of the Democrats in this appearance.
Chuck, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That's WPR reporter Chuck Quirnbach joining us from Milwaukee on the president's visit to that city to celebrate Obamacare signups there. Healthcare has been a part of the presidential campaign, with Donald Trump releasing his own policy statement on the topic this week, likely topic in tonight's Republican debate. UW Stevens Point political science professor Ed Miller joins us now for more on the topic. Ed, welcome back to the show.
Good evening.
Well, we heard Chuck provide us with that audio there of President Obama criticizing Governor Walker for the state's decision not to take those federal funds to support Medicaid expansion. We're unique in the country in that. Is that right?
Well, no. Actually, there are about 19 states that haven't taken, haven't expanded Medicaid. And those states are not, you know, they're Republican, all those states are Republican states, but all Republican governors have not followed that path. Christie, for example, did not. Indiana has not. Ohio has not. And because they realize how much money is involved, that their citizens would be covered for one, and second, how much money. Wisconsin, as they say, is leaving a tremendous amount of money on the table. Over a 10-year period, it's close to $1 billion Wisconsin is giving up for not taking the expansion.
The unique part, as I understand it, is that we've expanded health care to cover a lot of people not previously covered, changed it to remove it from others while not taking that Medicaid expansion.
Well, we actually reduced the number covered because in Wisconsin, we covered up to 200% of the federal poverty line. And now we're covering only 100% of the federal poverty line under Medicaid. The addition, as you mentioned, there is an addition there. And that is individuals without children. And they were covered under Doyle up to the 200%, but there was a limited amount of money, so there was a waiting list there, and people couldn't get it because of the waiting list, or some people couldn't get it. So what Governor Walker did was those individuals who were under 100% of the poverty line that didn't have children are now eligible. So that is one addition, that's true. But there was a lot of people who had previously received it who no longer get it.
So Governor Walker has he argued when he initially made this decision, and his office is still saying that today, that, okay, all this money appears to be there from the federal government now. It's uncertain, massive debt. This could change, and we may get ourselves in a position where we have this, in effect, unfunded mandate where we'd have to be scrambling
right.
in a few years to pay for it all.
Right.
What do you make of that?
Well, that argument never made any sense to me. For one thing is the federal government is paying. And so all the states that have it, the federal government is paying. If what Governor Walker says comes to be true, that the federal government then runs out of money in some way, although there are tax sources for this. But if the federal government doesn't pay, it's all the state of Wisconsin has to say is, well, I'm sorry, you know, we did cover these people. Well, now there's no federal money. We can't afford it. So they could stop it right at that time. The state wouldn't be holding the bag for anything. The state could make that decision if that happened to the federal government. But the probability is that it will not.
So we've heard recently from Senator Ron Johnson, from Republican presidential candidates, that the Affordable Care Act ultimately has driven premiums up. So have premiums grown faster than they did before this law came into effect?
No. Premiums have been going up, and not necessarily faster than before. I mean, you can just look at the data in terms of the, you know, premiums going up, increased copayments, increased deductibles. All of that has gone up, and that has continued to some extent. But it depends on what market you're in. In some markets, it hasn't gone up, and those are the markets that are most competitive for insurance company. Other markets, it has gone up. But the decisions on that has nothing to do with the Affordable Care Act per se. Those decisions are made by the insurance companies. So insurance companies actually make the decision on what their pricing is. Under the Affordable Care Act, if premiums go up, it is up to the state, because the state regulates insurance, to review any premium that goes up more than 10%. And so states are given that responsibility.
Now, turning to presidential politics, Republican candidates, I should say, have offered various plans for health care. But the starting point generally is repeal the Affordable Care Act, repeal Obamacare. I just wanted to ask how politically feasible that is, unless the Republicans, I don't think people expect them to do this, end up with a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate.
Right. It's probably not politically feasible. It's a law that's already in effect. It has a tremendous effect. But what a lot of people don't realize is how wide-ranging, how broad that this law has an effect. So if you repeal the law, just simply repeal the law. You've got children up to 26 that can now be on their parents' policies. You have pre-existing conditions which can be excluded by insurers, which, by the way, is one of the reasons that individual policies have gone up. It has no effect upon policies you get from your employer because they already cover pre-existing conditions. But for individual policies now, at one time they would not write policies for people who had pre-existing conditions or excluded them. Now they can't. But the, in addition to that, there's additional services in Medicare. There's a lot of people out there who have Medicare, and they think, well, I have Medicare. This has absolutely nothing to do with the Affordable Care Act. Well, the Affordable Care Act added a whole bunch of services to Medicare. Those services would all go away. In addition to that, if you have a private policy and you do have deductibles and copayments, as most people do, under the Affordable Care Act, preventative services such as the visit to the doctor, colonoscopies, vaccinations, all of that cannot apply the deductible or the copayment. And so those preventative services no longer would be without pay for the patient. In addition to that, there's a whole bunch of other stuff in there, such as reducing hospital infection rates, which have really come down because of the act and so forth. So there is really a lot more in this act than it looks like. You know, people think about the individual mandate. Well, whether you like it or not, you can debate that. But the point is, to repeal the entire Affordable Care Act, there's a lot of parts to it. So the question then is, if you're going to repeal it, what parts are you going to save?
We're talking about health care and presidential politics after President Obama's visit today to Milwaukee. Ed Miller stays with us. He's a political scientist from UW-Stevens Point.
And you can join our conversation at 800-642-1234. Should the next president replace Obamacare with something else, or is the Affordable Care Act working? Let us know what you think by calling in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our discussion on healthcare and presidential politics in the wake of President Obama's visit to Milwaukee today. Ed Miller is our guest. He's a political scientist from UW-Stevens Point.
You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on the Affordable Care Act, on Obamacare. Has it affected your life and maybe your workplace for better or for worse? Does it need changing, stay as it is, complete repeal? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. We've got Jim on the line in Iowa. Jim, hi.
Hi. I'm wondering about your guest thoughts about Bernie Sanders' plan. I'm thinking a single-payer plan. We have insurance companies which basically wrote the legislation and take 15 or 20% out of every health care dollar without contributing one aspirin.
Jim, thanks for the call. So, yeah, this has been a debate on the Democratic side of the
right.
presidential field, too, Ed, saying we need to go further, Bernie Sanders is.
Right, and the Sanders, the single-payer plan would be cheaper. It also, because, as Jim said, that it doesn't include a lot of administrative expenses, which are much lower, like, for example, in Medicare. So it would be better in that way. It would also be more uniform. It would not necessarily have networks as the current plan has, because everybody would be the same, like with Medicare. And so in that case, it would be better in that respect. And this is similar to Canada. A lot of people say Canada has socialized medicine. Well, they don't. What they do have is socialized insurance. So it is actually on the province level, the various plans in Canada. However, the chance that that's going to be enacted is pretty remote. With the current Affordable Care Act, there was an attempt to get in a public option, just an option, that compete with private insurance, and that was a non-starter, and that was then removed. And some facsimile of an option, the co-op, was put in, and they're not doing very well right at the moment.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go next to Whitney in Kaukauna. Whitney, hi.
Hi. I work for a big insurance company in Green Bay, and I work directly actually with the marketplace on individual policies, and there's a huge disconnect between insurance companies or actually the members and the providers that are in the network, because the providers think that Obamacare is an entity, as do the members. And the minute that any provider hears the word Obamacare, they automatically say, nope, we don't accept that plan, even when we have a contractual agreement with that provider, and we can, you know, state the facts in there, but they won't take the plan because they don't think that anything is going to be coming to them for payment, because they think it's a handout and things like that. And it's very, very frustrating having to try and get members access to providers when they're constantly turning members away because they hear the word Obamacare and automatically are, you know, stigmatized to that, oh, this is just a government handout, when it's not. It's actually, there's a lot of things that need to be worked out with it, because there's a lot of kinks still, where if you have to meet a certain amount that you make each year and file for taxes in order to qualify for a tax credit, and then if you don't qualify for a tax credit and your state didn't expand Medicaid like ours did, you don't qualify for Medicaid.
So all right. Whitney, you brought a lot to the table. Thank you so much for sharing your experience working with that. And Ed, this was a criticism of the Affordable Care Act from some people back when it was passing. Whether people were agreed with or opposed to the provisions, there was maybe a thought that this is big. This is a lot. This is complex. It's too much to hit doctors and insurance companies and patients with all at once.
Right. It is complex. And that's one of the problems with it, that it is complex. But what Whitney says is absolutely true. There is no such policy such as Obamacare. You can't buy Obamacare. What it is a marketplace in which private insurers compete in the individual market for people to buy their policies. And so that's what you find. And so people have a choice among private insurance companies to buy the policy. The only thing not private is, of course, Medicaid. I mean, that, you know, is run as a federal state program, but that's always been. But I'm talking about individuals who buy the policies. It is essentially all private insurance companies, and the federal government will subsidize the premiums depending upon your income. And so it's income up to 400% of the federal poverty line, and it goes down as you get closer to that, the subsidies. But in terms of the policies themselves and the nature of the policies themselves, those are all private insurance companies.
Thanks a lot for that call, Whitney. We're talking to Ed Miller from UW-Stevens Point about the politics of health care. President Obama visiting Milwaukee today. Republican presidential candidates likely to talk about this some tonight at their debate. We'll go back to our callers with John in Manitowoc. John, hi.
Hi, John. I work at a debt collection office, and business is booming for medical debt. Obamacare has not helped with that. People are getting denied with their claims. They go to hospitals. They have insurance. The hospital doesn't take that insurance policy, or the hospital's not processing it, or they have a deductible that's so high that they end up not being able to pay it. And really, it seems like, you know, what we get for insurance is just insurance for the hospitals that people aren't going to be able to declare, you know, bankruptcy for huge sums against them.
John, thanks a lot for the call. So he's seeing, this isn't doing part of what it's supposed to do to make that medical expense a non-catastrophic event. Ed.
Right. And what he says is true. I mean, that in effect, deductibles are going up. People would have to pay more in terms of deductibles. But the other thing he says is a very concerning thing, and that is this network thing. And the network thing that you have, that these networks, insurance companies, what they're doing is they're narrowing the networks so that they can make better deals with physician groups. And what happens is that not only is there fewer doctors that you can go to, but the patient may misunderstand what the network is. And sometimes the network is really confusing because you see there's a hospital. You know, and that hospital is on your list. And so you have some kind of problems, you break your arm, you break your leg, and you go into that hospital. You're treated in the emergency room. Where else are you going to be treated? In that particular hospital. That emergency room, those doctors, may not be in network. And which is really strange, that the hospital is in network, but the doctors at the emergency room, which you think, because the hospital is listed there, are not in network. And so that's a real problem that needs to be straightened out.
We'll bring on another caller now. Vic is with us in Stevens Point. Vic, hi.
Yeah, hi, and thanks to your guest, Ed. So, you know, that example that you just used is something that I look at and say, well, that's okay that we have these problems, Initially, it's going to have an effect on those people that it's affecting, of course, but those are things that can be tweaked. A real example for me why I think it should not be repealed, I think that's just ridiculous, is my direct experience that I have with my own children. I have four boys, all the way up to age 25. For them to be able, I teach in the Stevens Point area, but I look at just my students, but I look at my own kids, that I can keep them on until age 26. That's pretty incredible. Why would I want to deny that to my own children? So,
Vic, thanks a lot for that call. I want to take his first point, though, Ed, the idea that there are tweaks needed. Even people who like the Affordable Care Act probably don't think it's perfect. But in this political climate, can tweaks be made?
Right. And that's the biggest problem. So, well, some tweaks can be made because they can be made administratively through regulations. But anything that needs legislation is an impossibility. There was a technical error in the law, and the technical error lives in the law of whether the subsidies go only to state exchanges or they go to the federal exchange. It was only a technical error, because if you read the law, anyway, it had to go to the court, the Supreme Court, to make the decision, while that could easily have been done in a four-word addition to the law by Congress, and it just simply couldn't be done.
So, Ed, as we wrap up, do you see this remaining as a hot issue in the presidential campaign?
Oh, I think that they will talk about repeal, and it will be an issue. And certainly, Republicans will. The House of Representatives have voted, what was it last year, 50-some times to repeal the Affordable Care Act, and so it will be an issue. The interesting thing, what will happen is if there remains a Republican Senate. Well, the Republican Senate would have to be a filibuster-proof Senate, and a Republican president, then they could conceivably repeal it. But even if there's a Republican president, and there will probably be a Republican House, as long as the Senate is below 60% Republicans, the chance of repealing it is pretty remote because of the fact is that the filibuster would prevent that.
Ed, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
That's UW Stevens Point political science professor Ed Miller talking about some of the 2016 presidential candidates' ideas on reforming health care and the politics of health care in this presidential election year.
Coming up next, it's news from NPR and WPR, and then we talk about the new Department of Corrections secretary's hopes to restore public trust after scandal at a youth detention facility. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.